I love California with all my heart, and at the same time, I hate it. I guess you can hate the thing you love the most. I was married. It's very funny. I got a divorce, and I love her very much. You know, I find that through relationships in life that you can be with one, but like in the song "Who Made My Moonshine," you can love someone but love them in a completely different way. You know, the sex may not be there, or the newness. I hate to say newness, but the I think it's something that's been overtalked, and everyone knows what everyone's saying about it. Just people change, and it's beautiful when two paths may cross in life, and when they go on, it's still beautiful. The album is Pacific Ocean Blue, the title, which means peaceful blue.
Oh, okay.
Because the Pacific Ocean just means peace.
But in this song,
my esoteric, because of the intelligence used in the ocean, with the way people take care of it, from sewage to tankers to oil to slaughtering of animals to on and on and on and on and on, you know, and we get our air, the stuff that we breathe is coming from the ocean, and without the ocean we don't breathe. I don't know, Mike Love helped me with those lyrics, and we both very much believe that conservation is something that people should be very interested in for their own welfare. It's already showing signs. We can barely see the true color of the skies now. It's very sad. No. I'm getting tired of talking about conservation.
Really?
On a negative way, you know?
Let's talk about what do you do for
I mean, conservation, everybody is intelligent. Everybody knows. And instead of getting out there and saying, you got to do this, you got to get on a soapbox, you know? I think you just got to be an example.
You know. How do you do
so that? Can I have another cigarette? No. How do you do that? It's very simple. You just make an attempt on any try one thing. Mm-hmm. Try and not flush your toilet all day once. Save a little water. I don't know. I hate to be so gross. Right, exactly. Or I think instead of buying V8 engines, it might be wise to buy 4-cylinder engines. You know, that's a little less smog. How about in the rock and roll industry, if people, you sell records made out of rice, right? And if they don't like the record, they can eat it. So you don't, you know, what do you say, plan? You know my big pet peeve, though, in the world is today is planned obsolescence. And I understand why a company that would manufacture something that would never break, that they would never get a chance to sell another one, and they'd go broke. And it's tragic. I'd like to see a cure for that on a positive level, where one could have the freedom and his rights, of course, to benefit. But I think in certain fields, like the radio and in television and in making records, I feel that planned obsolescence, it's a crime. I don't know. I would never want to take a pot shot at companies, you know. There's a couple I would, but it wouldn't be fair for you gentlemen to have me get on, you know, because you're gracious enough to speak with me. I should stand up here and say negative things. No, what I would like to do and what I am doing is I'm building a creative complex in the island of Kauai. And it's what I would call a creative place where there may be 4 major recording studios where 4 major acts can record together and openly discuss, instead of the structure of radio today. This isn't number one, number two, competitive baloney, right? To make it more together. And I think it's the death of the stars here in the birth of the music. I mean, people today are more intelligent. They're more involved. They've heard enough music to understand what a formula is in a record and what goes into it. And they've heard enough interviews to know when one's full of baloney or one's happening, you know. So in my life, the game is over. Right? And I would like to have a community where there would be, we would even build a radio station a mock-up like, but a real one that would broadcast over the our community, that if the records that are being made that would be played, and new ideas in radio and format, because radio stations today have a terrible problem, and I think they call it making book. I could be wrong. You know, percentage of people listening, I think people better start getting their acts together and working together on a very creative level, because we are dealing with the arts. And it's time to intelligently get together with the people who sponsor, and the kind people who sponsor, that have a product to sell, that would sponsor an interview or a radio show. I feel they need support too. But I think that we can all help each other. And it's time to do it. And I'm going to put it together. If it takes my life, I know it will happen, because I know it's true. And it's, I mean, what can you say about wanting to make the arts better? You know, don't forget, rice can taste good.
Sure.
Yeah. The album, Pacific Ocean Blue,
you and I. Let's talk about you
makes
and I.
me very nervous. Yeah. Yes, I want it to be a... My fantasy at night is when I lay down in bed, I want it to be the greatest hit record in the world, and people just go, God, it's a masterpiece.
Are you really?
I really do. I mean, that sounds so...
Why can't I
feel very successful completing a project on my own without leaning on the shoulders of anyone. For the first time in my life, I've done something alone, which is the greatest achievement. I've done it on my own. And if you can do something on your own in life, all by yourself, from the beginning to the very end, it's a wonderful, there's success there. But yet, there rolls in the old fantasy with the ego, and of course, wanting to get the old pat on the back. You know, a lot of people don't want to say they want to be great, or they don't want to do better, you know, but it's good to want to do better and think about it. Speaking only for myself, the reason I like people to care for me is because it feels so good. And I love the feeling behind it. Comes through with an autograph or a handshake or, you know, God. How about driving down the car, driving down the street in your car and hearing one of your songs on the radio? It's so much fun. I wish everybody in the world could experience that. You know what I like to do? I'd like to invent a toy for everyone that could go home. Like, you know, they buy these, their stereos, you know, but why can't you build a recording studio for everyone that could put in their home? And just find out what it's like to make their own music, you know, to create something. It's very important to be creative in life, you know, because television is eliminating the book and people aren't flexing. It's like in the early days, if we'll take the Bach and the Beethovens and the Wagners, who were very popular, but to survive in those days as just a human being, you had to be a carpenter, you had to work with metal. You had to know how to put the house, you know, you had to think more and read more and do more. And so the music at that time was more involved. There's more moving parts. So it shows to me today that music is very simple today compared to then. So thought today is people don't have to think as much. I've been noticing that. I don't know where that came from, but Pacific Ocean Blue is a beginning. And... There is room for growth, and there is growth. The album, I played 99% of the instruments, I sang 99% of the songs, and I wrote 99% of the music, period. And it's a one-man band, everything. I had a drummer assist on a couple songs. I don't play guitar, so the guitars were assisted in some background vocals that the higher notes that I couldn't hit, or a note that I didn't want to sing, or someone was there just having a good time. You know, I'd say, hey, come on and sing, you know. The other night there was a press party, and there was the Rolling Stone magazine, the Free Press, Time, People, and a few others, right? And they listened to the album too. It's the normal procedure to kind of like have a little cocktail dinner party, and they sit around and listen. And you know what they're doing is they're sitting around drinking and eating dinner. And who could give a big poop about listening to the album, right? So I got a little frustrated, and I said, listen, if you guys really want to know what it's like to make a record, get your butts down to the studio now, and I'll make a record in front of you, and we'll make it up as we go along. It's called He's a Bum, and every one of them sang until 4 in the morning. and they bled and worked in it. But you know what happened? I don't think I've ever seen people's eyes light up and get that excited to hear themselves accomplish something in another area that they've never done. You know, and God bless them. Beautiful people. It's very difficult to, if you've never made a record, to stand in front of a microphone and go, try and sing. And I shared that with him. And I think sharing was had a lot to do with this album, too, in the context of people being involved in the album. I'll tell you what, I will sit here and talk to you as long as you want to talk to me. And when we know that we're to a place where there's not much more to say, we'll end. But my time is your time. I want to tell you something. This is an honor. An honor. And respect it. You know, if the kids out there in the world, they're lying in bed at night, that their dad might have slugged them in the mouth. And, or what if the kids just did his last gram of cocaine, right? And he ran out and he's hung up and he's screwed up and doesn't know what to do. He's confused and he's doing it to be happy. And he's out of cocaine and he's laying there going, God, I wish I, where is it? You know, maybe someone like you could just have that magic word or play that song that might feel him good. There may be somebody lonely out there. So this is very important to me. I sound like a doctor. But I fantasize when I play a song to the point where it's a message. And another fantasy is that I'm playing it for an audience.
That's a real dedication.
You know, I pretend that there's an audience out there, and sometimes I fantasize that they hate it. And it's just different things. I mean, there's different reactions I create for an audience. So what I do, I guess, is I'm a dreamer, but I experience out all my fears and all the program, and I allow people the space by doing it, I guess, that way. And now, like, when I walk on stage, I have no intention of trickery, or it's just, it reminds me of show and tell in kindergarten. I'm just up there, and I enjoy the space to share myself with them. Thank you very much for being here. And it's wonderful to know that we're all alive here together.
Do me a favor.
I'm not in a philosophical mood. I'm just, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody allowed everybody the space to be themselves without making judgments, and everybody had the grace of forgiveness? Speaking personally, wouldn't it be nice if Dennis Wilson could overcome some of the things in his life that waste very precious life itself? I don't know, that I can go on and on and on. And that, wouldn't it be nice to be a billionaire? You know, it'd be nice to have some double bubble chewing right now. And it would have been nice if I hadn't spilt the coffee on your shoe. I wrote a lot of the words. A friend of mine, Jimmy Dutch, assisted me with that. I was brokenhearted when Karen and I split up, and she ran off somewhere with some guy, and I went down into Venice where I was living and seeing other women. And you know, sometimes when you break up with someone, you do things when you wake up the next morning, when you see the person that you're laying next to, you wish that you hadn't. You know, I was going through that change, and I was very much in love, and I realized that love I create inside myself. I, like, if my mother or my loved one says, I love you, Dennis, I know that in my mind and in my heart and my experience of being alive, that I have to create that love, the feeling of love. I have to imagine it. Like, I am seeing you, you are seeing me. I know that I have to, in my mind, the cognition of what that love is. So I learned that through suffering over something I shouldn't have been suffering over. And I know that there are times in life where we all want, you know, our time will come when we will pass away. And there will be times where we will love and lose love. And so though that's where the song came from, was an understanding within myself about a relationship with a girl that I took very seriously. And I still do. Is it okay? I mean, I hope it's okay to be just totally candid and open with you, because I really don't believe in, I don't candy coat. That's important. I think that there's nothing wrong with someone being hard on themselves, because that's what is when they are, and that's their right. They should have the space to do that, you know, because it's like then they get to learn they don't have to do it. If you're frightened of something, like a big river going down a riverboat, right, it's not going to make the river stop flowing, the crying. The river will flow, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with crying or being afraid. Working on a new film, we're going to make a musical. I worry about Brian sometimes, his health and his well-being, better than I've ever seen. He actually jumps up and dances and plays rock and roll music on the piano and dances. It's fabulous to watch. He has his ups and downs, you know, he's getting better. What people call that is, with gathering agreement, you know, the vote is that Brian is different. And he is different. But he is a dedicated human being, and his choice is making music, and he relates very well there and can relate on other levels. And Brian is very, in left field. It was very interesting to her. It went beyond just the music. You know, there was a lot of personal things that went on. I was marrying Bobby Lamb's ex-wife. There was a bit of tension there, a little bit, until Bobby and I kind of got together and realized that we loved each other and got along well. Michael and Terry Caff had a slight problem, you know, different ideas musically, but at the same time, it was ironically, when the bands played together, the egos were so that it really was good. Everyone really performed. And there were some great loves created through that tour, and a lot of people. I think it was probably one of the most successful tours in the history of tours, the fact of two bands playing together. I'm not saying attendance. I hear it was good, but I don't give a big darn about that. It's just that the fact that it worked musically, you know, and the people being willing to work together like that was good. I'd like to see more of that. As a matter of fact, you know what I want to do? Two things I want to do. I want the Beach Boys to have more free concerts in areas. I think it's time that groups perform for free once in a while. I would like to do one in California. We did one in New York. It was very successful. And I would like to see groups get involved now differently than, let's just say, live show, you know, free. I would like to see a rock and roll telethon. And I'd love to get on the stage like a Jerry Lewis, but not cry at the end of the show, you know. I'd like to stand up and say, and Bobby, I don't mean this to Bob Dylan as a, you know, I'm just using it as an example, like, okay, Bob, you probably had $100 million worth of record royalties come in. One child, if you gave 1% of all your royalties to one cause, it's a tax write-off, and you could help save several children. You know, the Beatles, Paul McCartney, Brian Wilson, Dennis Wilson, the groups in the world that make the money, tremendous amount of, wow, billions of dollars are made in this industry, and it's one of the greatest money-making industries in the world. It really is, truly. It's you get on TV and you say, look, Bob, the world's watching this. Come on, let's get into it. Give us a phone call. Led Zeppelin. Yeah. You know. Hey, Beach Boys. You know, California. Guys made money, sold more records than any group in the world. I think that, well, close to it. You know, come on. Do something for people, for Christ's sakes. I am doing it right now on the radio. I'm letting it be known that that's going to happen. But it was just created here. I mean, publicly. So you never know what can happen. Maybe there, somebody listening may have an idea and maybe has a suggestion. And then if they want to get in contact with you, maybe you should give them an address where they could write if they have an idea or something. It would be the more people that have input to something like that. People are interested in helping people There's a lot of people in the world that are suffering and that could use help. And I'm telling you, the rock and roll industry, the kids that buy the records, the men that sell the records, the gentlemen on the radio stations, everybody could get involved in a rock and roll telethon. And believe me, with one telethon, there'd be more money raised to help more people and bring more happiness into people's lives than you could ever possibly fathom. No baloney. Not well, money, but it can. There's many ways. Every city, it should happen to in the world, and there should be one base of communications. Maybe, you know, one guy to say, okay, here's what we do, and everybody kind of get together on a good level. And if it means picking up those aluminum disposable cans that could be recycled. That the money received from that could go to mowing lawns, to a Dennis Wilson donating one of his royalties to one song of one album. That people don't realize an album is like an oil well. They keep selling and selling, and money is made. Hundreds of millions of dollars are made on records. And it wouldn't hurt for someone to kind of let go a little bit. But I think it should be through the rock and roll industry. The Mo Austins that run 70 rock and roll bands. What happens if a record company with millions of dollars coming in donates a small fee, something, but guaranteed over a period of time? You know, the big argument comes in, well, where does the money go to? Who do we give it to? You know, there's a lot of starving people. So that's where intelligence has to be again applied. It's not just in money. It's how about some guy in a neighborhood, instead of walking down the street, rolling up a joint, getting loaded, laying under a tree, you know? What happens if you stopped off at a hospital and says, is there anything I can do to talk to some kid? Collect some old, like around Christmas, all the kids in the neighborhoods could get used toys and go down to the local hospital and make some of these kids happy. I've been to hospitals where a boy was 14 years old and knew he was going to be dead at 16, you know? And he has no one to talk to, but he listens to the radio. And he knew I was coming down because he said, kids, I'm going to hit every hospital in Vancouver, and I'll be there today. And it made his day. You know? He was despondent. Do you know that I heard the other day that there's a boy that was what they call a beach boy freak, was in a coma. And the intentions of doctors when people are in comas are to bring them out of a coma. And there's a place in a coma where one almost starts to respond, and that's where they try and stimulate. They played Beach Boy music, and the kid came out. It could have been Led Zeppelin, but, well, it's a shame. I would then, if we're running out of tape, I'd just like to say God bless everybody for their support, and thank you very much for this opportunity, and if ever I can come back and talk to you.